Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, friends, saints, and family. This is Keturah, and today on the program, we will continue from where we left off on last week before we got interrupted to air the funeral of the late Pastor Pinckney, Clemente Pinckney, there in Charlotte, North Carolina. So let's pick up from where we left off in the book of Revelation in chapter 1. I remember sharing with you let's start reading at verse 12. And this was the Apostle John, who was on the Isle of Patmos, writing from the book of Revelations, or writing, rather, the book of Revelation from the vision that was given to him by Jesus Christ. And in verse 12, he said, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and began, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps, and with a golden candle, with a golden girdle, rather. His head and his hair were white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." Now, I really want you to tune in your hearing right here, because in verses 13 through 10, we're going to get a full physical description of what Jesus Christ really looks like. We know that the Bible says that when he returned, we will all see him as he is. And this is a marvelous description of his physical appearance. And in verse 14, it says that his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eye were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in its full strength. Now, I don't know if you can imagine someone in this magnitude whose presence, their aura, that shined so bright. It was bright as the sun, whose skin was like a polished brass, and whose hair was as white as snow. I mean, this sounds absolutely magnificent, just breathtaking to look at an image like this. And in verse 17, he says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said to me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lived and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." Now he goes on in verse 19 to tell him what it is that he should write. And so in verse 19 he says, "Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches." And so now we will spend a little bit of the time that we have left looking at a few of these churches. And I just want you to be remindful that these chapters contain letters to the seven churches, and these were local churches in Asia Minor. Each one also represented a particular time and period in church history. And so I wanted to raise that up in your awareness, because we want to see just how is it that these seven churches are relevant to us Christian believers and the world at large today. in the 21st century. And so he starts with the church at Ephesus in chapter 2. And he says unto him, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that hold the seven stars in his right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven candlesticks, talking about Jesus. And he said, I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and hast borne and had patience, and for my name's sake that has labor and has not fainted. So he's given a description of the character trait of the people in the church of Ephesus at that day and time. They were patient. They did not faint. They labored long, and they did it for the name's sake, and they did not faint. And in verse 4, he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. Now, he said, even though you did all this and it was good, he said, but I still have something against you because you have left your first love. And I want to bring this out right here. If you have procrastinated making a commitment to Christ, if you have previously made a commitment to Christ and then you have gotten away, have gotten entangled with the world and forgotten about Jesus, if you stop loving on him, praising him, praying and reading your Bible like you used to do, and you have essentially become like this church at Ephesus. You was once at one time patient, you long suffered, you endured liars and tricksters, but then you have fainted away and fallen away. That's the one thing that God would say that he hold against you. But I want to say to you, you can still get it right. There is still time. In verse 4, it's really, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. This was the gap between them and Christ. This is how Satan got that wedge in there, and through causing them to leave their first love. And so he said in verse 5, remember therefore from whence you are fallen, and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto you quickly and remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. So they were not totally ostracized from the presence of God. They still had a remnant of a chance. All God is wanting from them is to repent and remember their first love. Do the things that they used to do for him that pleased him. And I will say to you, repent and do the things that you used to do that pleased him. Do your first works over. Yes, there is time to be saved. In verse 6, he said, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans or Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, that word overcome indicates two things to me. Number one, it is saying that they had been ensnared or entrapped by fatigue and weariness, and they just have fallen faint, listless. I perceive this to let me know in this chapter that they were probably prayerless and those type of things slack in their works and labors towards God. And he is saying you can overcome. Bottom line, when you feel yourself taken captive by Satan's will or whim, you can overcome. You gotta overcome so that you can experience the joy of being present in the face of Christ and being able to be granted the permission to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise. And that's what this study is all about. We want to return with Christ when he returns. Remember when I first opened up talking to you about, I wanted to identify key points in the lesson that would help us to know how the study of the book of Revelation is relevant to us, the church body, and the world at large. And so we understand that we can fall slack. We can be taken captive through not doing the things that we knew to do. And it looks like these group of people were overtaken by faint-heartedness. You know, the Bible tells us in the Word that God is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love. And so he will reward your labor if you just would not faint. And sometimes you feel like you need someone or something to come alongside and strengthen you in the things of God. And I would say, you know, get it. Don't be prideful. If you need someone to pray with you, reach out for prayer. You know, pick up the phone line. Call some of the prayer ministries that have prayer lines and just ask someone to touch and agree with you in prayer. Glory be to God for what it is that you need. And I want to pray with you right now, even in the close of the broadcast. I want to pray with you for your strength in the Lord, that you will prosper in the name of Jesus, that you will be able to hold up under and bear up under any and everything, that you will be able to endure long and suffer long and hold in there and be fruitful in the area of being steadfast and not giving up. Glory to God, that is so important. And I know there are things coming that we are seeing in the news that is enough to make you feel faint-hearted. You labor and you pray and you don't see the answer, and you say, Lord, you know, I prayed about that and this thing still hasn't changed, and it's just the devil. He's just beating upon you, trying to cause you to give in, to faint, to quit. And so I'm raising awareness so that you are not deceived by his trickery, and that so that you don't give up. I want to strengthen your hand. I want you to join your faith with mine, and let's receive Jesus as our Lord. If you have fallen away from Christ today and you want to return, let's pray for you to receive our Savior. And Father, it is written in your word that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart, you have raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. And so therefore, Father, I confess that Jesus is Lord. And Father, all listening to me will make, just say, I make him Lord of my life right now. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. I renounce my past life with Satan, and I close the door to any of his devices. And I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. And Jesus is my Lord, and I am new preacher. Old things have passed away, and now new things have become new. And so know that you can repeat this prayer in your private time, if you feel like you need to listen back to the program today, click on the link and pray the prayer of salvation again. And this is not just for one that may have backslidden, but maybe you have become prayerless. You know, prayerlessness is a sin. You know, we just read in the book of Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus, that they had fallen from their first love, and God told them, repent and do your first works over. And so repeat this prayer again if you need to. Lord God, I repent of sin by turning away from it, and receive me now, and begin to do your first works over. Pray to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I am your child, for I believe in my heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and I have confessed him as my Lord. And Jesus said, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I ask you now in the name of Jesus to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I step into the fullness and power that I desire in the name of Jesus. I confess that I am a Spirit-filled Christian. And as I yield my vocal organs, I expect to speak in a language where the Spirit gives me utterance in the name of Jesus, and praise God for it. And if you are backslidden, you know the way back to being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So just yield your vocal cords to him and be repentant and truly sorrowful in your heart, and he'll refill you and refresh you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember, in this lesson, it's all about doing a repentance and doing your first works over. And Christ said that he would grant you to partake of the tree of life that is in the midst of paradise if you would overcome. And so I want to leave that with you in your thinking. Please go back, review this lesson again as you will leave feeling refreshed, renewed, and with a second chance to get prepared for the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible says that we will see him as he is. So share this link with someone else whom you know will benefit and has struggled from being entrapped by Satan's trap and trickery, and who needs to be restored to fellowship in Jesus Christ. I love you. Remember 1 Peter 5:7 from the Amplified Bible. God cares about you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully.